Aren't you glad for God's amazing grace? Man, I love that song. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, glory to God. Whew! I want to teach you something tonight. And we're really in trouble because I didn't look at see how much power I had on my iPad, so I got 5%. So that won't last long. I got all my scriptures. See, I didn't think about that. I got all my scriptures down there. That's okay. I emailed it to my phone. I have 24% net, so we'll make it. You know, yeah, just email it to all of y'all and we'll go home. Praise Jesus. I said something Sunday that I felt like it just came out of my mouth right at the very end of service, and I felt like it was so prophetic and so the Holy Ghost that, because it had never crossed my mind before. And so I wanted to stay on that tonight because I really believe God has something for us that He wants us to grab hold of, okay? So get your Bibles out and go to Psalm 69. You know, today is Wednesday. So yesterday was Yom Kippur. Well, till 6. So now it's sundown, so it's close enough. So we just finished it. So anyway, glory to God. It's still there, but is it down? Jake says it's down. He's looking out the west, so he's... So... You know, this is, like I was teaching Sunday, that, you know, this would be the official year of Jubilee. And I don't want to look at that as a total natural thing, even though it is naturally correct. But I want to, you know, the year your Jubilee started the day you got saved. Because Jesus said He's fulfilled it, He set it to set you free. But I don't believe people have walked in Jubilee. I don't believe people have walked in the restoration that God really wants for us. And I really believe that this time right now that we're in, this year, God really wants to restore things to you. I believe that He wants to restore, and it's not just monetary. You know, a lot of times you just think about monetary things you lost, but He really wants to restore relationships. He wants to restore your joy. He wants to restore your energy. He wants to restore whatever it could be, whatever that could have ever gotten stolen from you. In life, He wants to restore it, okay? He wants to restore that. And you need to be in a mode, if you're going to walk in it and you're going to receive from it, you need to be in a mode of, this is your restoration year, and you need your faith out there, because nothing's going to happen if you're just going to sit around and just say, well, if God wants to restore me, He'll restore me. You're missing the whole point. You know, you have to participate, and you have to get active. And you have to be zealous. And that was the word I used right at the end of the service about playing for zeal. And that, as I went home, I said, like, why in the world was I, well, Lord, where did I miss that? Or, I mean, why did I get off on that? That just didn't, you know, that came out of left field. You didn't speak to me anything about that. And all of a sudden, here I'm praying for zeal for everybody. And I'm thinking, what am I even talking about? And so I just was really praying about it and saying, Lord, you know, reveal this to me, show me. And so, you know, over the last, since Sunday, you know, He's been speaking to me, He's been showing me some things, and that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about zeal. Because unless you're zealous for God, you're not going to walk in victory. Now, naturally, I don't know what you call it in a natural sense, but naturally I'm a zealous person. I'm the guy that goes whole hog in right off the bat. I'm the guy that can go jump in there and do something, and I never think about it till I'm through, and then I'm like, holy cow, probably shouldn't have done that. I'm just that away. When I fell in love with my wife, there was nothing that could stop me from going and seeing my wife. If she would have said, no, I won't marry you, I'm saying, well, you're going to marry me. I mean, that's it. I mean, bottom line, I mean, we're getting married. I mean, I was whole hog into it, okay? And so I got to looking at this word that we call zeal. And what we would say, somebody's very zealous. Well, that person could just be excited, but his motives could be wrong. Okay, some people can be zealous for something, but their motives are wrong. They're for selfish reasons that they're doing something. Okay? And so Psalm 69 here, it says 69:9. It says, because zeal for your house has eaten me up, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen upon me. That word there, you may find this very interesting, but that word in the Strong's Concordance is H7068, and it's kinah, and it means jealous. But you got to understand the Hebrew, okay? The Hebrew words, you got to understand they mean more than what we do in English. Hebrew and Greek are both so much more of a descriptive language. If I hear that somebody is jealous, I look at that as a bad thing. That's usually the way it comes upon me. Somebody to be jealous, that would be bad. Are y'all with me? But that word can go either way. It can be jealous in a bad way, or it can be jealous in a good way. Okay? And so, it goes back to a root word. No, actually, let me read this other verse. That was... See, I got this little bitty thing here. I can't see all my notes here. But anyway, when the apostles are talking about Jesus, they quoted that scripture and said, for the zeal of his house has eaten me up. It's in John 2:17. And so, when you look at the word then, when it's translated in the Greek of what zeal means, okay, it's zelos. And it means... zeal can mean zeal, but I learned a new word. I like to, and I don't know if any of y'all have ever heard this word, I'm impressed, okay? But it's the word, not order, but ardor, A-R-D-O-R. Y'all know that word? Really? Where have you ever used that word? Huh? You read it, but you don't use it. Yeah. And I'd say, I've heard of arduous, but ardor? And the word ardor means, okay, the word order, ardor, A-R-D-O-R, it means, and often restless or transitory warmth of feeling, extreme vigor, energy, or passion. All right? Y'all following me here? The word, when he says, for the zeal of your house has eaten me up, he's talking about passion. He's talking not just about excitement, not just about you went to church on Sunday, not just about you got a Bible verse down, not just about that you got excited a little bit, but a passion, something that drives you, something that you are so jealous for that you want it more than anything else on the face of the earth. That you're willing to spend time, you're willing to spend energy, you're willing to spend money, you're willing to spend whatever it is to be in that person's presence or to have that thing. Are y'all with me? When Jesus says, when they quoted the scripture and said about Jesus, the zeal of your house, in other words, Jesus was so passionate about the kingdom, about God, about heaven, about everything that his Father was, everything that was, that there was nothing else. There was no price too great to pay to achieve the purpose that God had for him. Nothing would get in his way. Now, I feel that Christians as a whole, that's not the way they approach the relationship with God. I feel like there's a lot of Christians whose relationship with God is based solely upon what can he do for them. But I feel like in the same sense that in our human relationships, we're the same way. In a marriage situation, a wife could just want the husband to perform for her so that she could be happy, or the husband could want the wife to perform for her so she could be happy. And it's not an equal passion where each of you love each other so much and there's so much passion, so much zeal, so much order in there that there's nothing could get in the way. Now, I'm not saying this to tote me, but I told you I'm a passionate person. When there's something that I want, I am passionate about it. And I've always been that way ever since I got saved. I went from darkness to light, man. I mean, I sold out 100%. There was nothing in there. I haven't always walked right because I didn't know. I didn't have instruction. I didn't have knowledge. But inside of me, my heart beat as a Christian, right? Well, my wife and I were having a discussion, and she brought up something that is not pleasing to her about me at a certain time that I get in a certain state of mind. And when she said that to me, it hit me, because I'm studying this anyway, and it hit me. And I'm like, you know what? I want you to know, as of this moment, it's been brought to my attention, and I'll never do that again. And she's like, I mean, she didn't laugh out loud, but I could tell that she's like, yeah, right. But I'm telling you what, this boy's broke. You know why? Because I don't ever want to make my wife feel uncomfortable. I love her. She's the passion of my life. I've been married for 35 years. I chased this woman down until she tormented her until she had to marry me. Okay, there's nothing that could get in the relationship. There's nothing that I could just say, well, that's it. I'm not going any farther. No, why would I? I love her. And if I love her that much, I know that whatever I give into her, it's coming back because she's going to have to love me. You know what I'm saying? But she does love me. And she, you know, that's the relationship. There's nothing going to get in the way. Nothing can stop me. Nothing. No. And I know tomorrow I'll be tested. I stayed at the house all day today, so I wasn't tested. But tomorrow I have to go. I have to be out in the world, and I know what's going to happen, and I'm going to be tested. And I know I'm going to win. You know why? Because it's something that's there. It's before me. It's like, okay, I've got to get to this place. You know, we see people all the time, extreme athletes, and you look at their lives and everything they give up to be that extreme, to go that extra mile, to tone that extra muscle or lose that weight or develop that muscle or develop the skill. Y'all ever watch... It comes on television. I never have figured out if they're reruns or what's going on. Let's watch them down by the American Ninja Warrior. Okay, these guys are crazy. And then they show, sometimes they get in there and they show like they've totally gone to their backyard and changed everything in their whole backyard. There's nothing for a kid in there. Right? The swing sets are gone or whatever. I don't know if they had a swing set, but I'm just saying there's nothing in the backyard except this training deal of all the bars and the jumping and the, you know, everything to for them to practice over and over and over and develop and to get good. And they go talk to one another about friendships and they get teams and they work together and they teach each other. And, well, you got to do this, you got to do that. And, you know, every person, it's not like everybody's just like, oh, okay, yeah, I think I'll try that. Yeah, that was fun. Let's do it again next week. No, they're intense. Then I thought they were intense. Then I started looking at, I saw a CrossFit deal and I'm like, holy moly, these guys are extreme intense, okay? So, point is, that's what they have a passion, what they have a zeal for, and so everything changes in life. This one person they interviewed one time, he said something about how does he live and all this kind of stuff. He says, well, I do these certain things, and I make about $8,000 a year, and I live very meagerly, and just, you know, or whatever, because all I want to do is train, and so I can make it on $8,000 a year. He was a single young man, you know, or whatever. I'm like, dude, you know, no passion for anything, no thought about your future, whatever. All he was thinking about is, I'm going to win that event. Well, that's focus. That's dedication. Wow, what about for the master? We're singing that song just a while ago, and I'm like, my God. I mean, you're so amazing. How you took me, a wretch, and broken and twisted, and you loved me, and you say, why would I not want to know Jesus, to the fullest extent that I could know Jesus. Not just know Jesus and if he'll work with me and who I am and I don't have to change. Not just add Jesus to the pocket notebook to give me a little edge, but to know Jesus, to whatever it takes, whatever I have to do to know you. When we were young and first walking on the Lord, you know, you can't imagine how many places I did not go because I wanted to stay home and read my Bible. Because I'd worked all week and I was tired. I wanted to stay home and read. I wanted to know. I wanted to understand Jesus. I wanted more. How many times did I never went anywhere that Laura would take the kids and they'd go and I'd just stay home and I'd just read and I'd just pray and I'd just read and I'd just pray because I just wanted to know Jesus. And it wasn't that I wanted to know him because I'd be smarter than everybody else. It was that this man who would die for me, who would have gave his life up for me, and to know that he did, it was like, my goodness, I'll do anything for you. If you're going to do that for me, I'll do anything. What do you want me to do? And at first it was like, I don't want you to do anything right now. I want you just to learn from me because you don't know nothing. You're a very dangerous individual. You don't know anything. Don't go saying anything to anybody. Just sit here and let me just work with you and teach you and to love you and to help you. Yeah. That's what's wrong with a lot of preachers. They run off with just, you know, half cocked with just a little bit of knowledge. And man, it's a dangerous thing. I'm telling you, it's the truth. Man, if you, you know, anyway. So the zealous, to be zealous or to have zeal for God, it's in the when you read in the Old Testament, you'll find it's translated jealous. And Exodus chapter 20, the very first commandment, Exodus 20, verse 1, it says, and God spoke these words and said, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage, and you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself carved images or likeness of anything that is like and above, or that in the earth beneath, or the water above, or the water under the earth, and you shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I am the Lord your God. I am a jealous God. See, he's a jealous God. In other words, this is the revelation you got to get hold of. As much zeal as you could think you have, God has a million times more zeal for you. God is zealous for you. He wants to take your brokenness. He wants to take your mess ups, your whatever, and he wants to take it, and he just wants you to come to him so that he can take it and twist it and turn it around and help you to become the whole person that you need to be, not some robotic minion that's going to say what he wants you to say. He's zealous to help you to be the man or woman of God that you are, who you're to be. To get the rough edges off and the things that make us goofy. Now, I want to say this, and please just hear me and don't take it out of context. But, you know, there are things that we're passionate about, but, you know, I don't know. I don't see y'all most of the time to think that, you know, I mean, you may get excited a little bit of a football game or a basketball game, or especially if your kid's playing or something, you know, you may, woo-hoo, you know, or whatever, you know, and get a little wild and scream, ah, you know, whatever. But I just want to throw this out, and I feel like I need to duck under the pulpit and pull down something to so that you don't give me. But listen to me. Don't raise your hands. Just keep everybody looking at me straight, and don't get any silly look on your face because, you know, I really, no, I hit you. But one thing I bet every one of us in here can do really well is get mad. I bet every one of us can throw a fit. I bet we can scream and holler, throw down, fight, cuss, scratch, do whatever it takes to achieve what we want. But the same intensity, listen to me, the same intensity that you could get angry and throw down is the same intensity that you can have for passion for Jesus because you were intense at that moment. And if you can be intense that-a-way, you can be intense this-a-way. You have the capabilities to do it. It's just that we don't do it because we get changed, we get developed in religious ways that say, well, this is the way we worship God, or this is the way that we express ourselves, or this is what's proper, or this is what is acceptable, or this is what is etiquette. When the truth of the matter is, we should be that ravenous, passionate for Jesus, that if we were to fall on our face and get on our knees and pray and worship for an hour, that should be normal. Or whatever it would take, because there's nothing, I'm telling you, church, listen, there's nothing more important in life than your relationship with Jesus. Nothing. Winning the argument's not more important than your relationship with Jesus. Getting people in the world to like you is not more important than your relationship with Jesus. Nothing is more important than your relationship with Jesus. He is someone who is so amazing, so awesome, so great that he deserves every ounce of zeal and passion and vigor and whatever would be in us directed towards him. And if you want restoration this year of Jubilee to be in your life, it's going to take whatever to get you to that place. It's going to take some effort. And he said, well, I'll go have a conversation with the Lord every morning. I'm going to drink coffee. Eat a bit hot. Eat a bit hot. And I feel like he and I are on a good basis. And I don't need any more to be crazy and jealous and all that stuff. I don't need to be lifting my hands and speaking in tongues and walking around the room. I'm just kind of, you know, brother, it's not for me.
Oh, well, let's just make you mad and see how you act.
Have you ever gotten mad in that kind of a way?
I just do believe that, you know, this is not really correct. I think that you really shouldn't be doing that, and I was hurt deeply when you said that. I just don't believe that this is what should be taking place.
We don't act like that. What are you talking about? Go to throw our arms around. Spits flying everywhere. Man, I got to tell y'all, I was so proud of myself yesterday. I was patting myself on the back. Because I have a weakness that the devil knows how to get my goat sometimes. And somebody can say something or do something, and if I don't catch it real quick, then I fall over into getting angry, and then I may be on the outside saying, yeah, uh-huh, but the whole time I'm thinking, yeah. And then it just goes and boils, and then, you know, I usually come home and dump it on her. And so I was, you know, this situation started happening. Man, I caught it right off the bat. I was like, he ain't going to get me in this one. Well, I see what's going on with you, buddy. This ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. And so it was like, you know, like I dodged that sucker punch coming. Why I dodged that one? I was like, and then in a minute, something else happened. And then finally the big zinger came, you know. And I was like, yeah, well, whatever, you know. And it started trying to, like, get me. And I was like, you forget it, buddy. I see this trap. I see right where you're leading me. I see right where I'm going. I am not falling for it. I've gone falling for it too many times. I'm not falling for it. I'm not wasting an ounce of emotional energy on this stupidity. I will not. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But you know why I did it? It's because I had been listening for 3 hours to a prayer CD, and I was so full of word that I recognized it. I mean, that's the only thing it was. And how was I full of the word? You know, like I'd gone down the road. No. The thing was just playing on my CD over and over again. I'm just thinking about all kinds of things, doing business and talking on the phone, whatever. This thing's just playing. It's just word going. But I was so full of the word in my spirit that I was able to acknowledge it, able to see it, and defeated it. And it was the first time I had really done a smash down. Patoom, right? I mean, like, it was like the wrestler, you know, when the guy gets up on him and he flips him over backwards, he's got his head between his legs. And, yeah! Man, it felt good. I mean, that demon was squealing like a pig when he was running back to hell saying it didn't work this time. But how did I get there? 3 hours. In the Word. Because why? This is what I want you to see tonight. Because when I know something is good, let's go to Deuteronomy 32:1. Old Testament, Deuteronomy 32:1. It says, "Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Let my teachings drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, as the raindrops on the tender herb, as the showers of the grass, for I proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, and all his ways are justice. And he's a God of truth without injustice. Righteousness and upright is he." If all of his ways are perfect, if all of God's ways are perfect, and all of Jesus' ways are perfect, and all the words of the Bible are perfect, and everything that lines up is perfect, why wouldn't I want that? Why wouldn't I want to seek it? Why wouldn't I want to seek something that's perfect? You know, so many times we get involved in a relationship, husband and wife, whatever, singles, teenagers, whatever, you know, get involved in relationships with people, and then we get in the relationship for a little bit, and then we find out that they're not perfect. Well, shame on us for even thinking they're perfect going into it, because ain't none of us perfect. But we look into that, and then immediately, what do? Start to build defenses and to build walls and to build things to help us from those imperfections in the person not being able to get into our heart and not to hurt us. But my gosh, if Jesus is perfect, we don't have anything to worry about. Listen to me. You can never do anything that is passionate towards Jesus that he would say, "Oh, really? I mean, quit. I mean, really?" You're not going to find something in God. Like this morning, my wife was reading the devotional, these little devotionals. And, you know, we buy these little devotionals, give them out, and 99% of everything's good. But there was something in there this morning I didn't like. And the bottom line is that they get into that over there in Corinthians and talk about Paul said that he had a thorn in his flesh. And then everybody goes to saying, well, God put a thorn in his flesh to, you know, whatever. And then, you know, then they take it over there because he said it was his infirmity, which it really means a weakness. And he's going there and say, well, God made, you know, Paul sick. And that just infuriates me. Because you just called my perfect God saying, well, you know, I don't know. Let's just see if we can't make Lex's foot hurt. Let's see if that'll humble him. That's the stupidest thing. That is not who I know. God doesn't have to set up things for us to test our abilities. We get in it ourselves. Lord, have mercy. You know, and people read that and they're, well, it's in the Bible, you know. Yeah, it also says women should be quiet in church. What are you going to do with that one? Learn at home. Also says we're supposed to love our neighbor. It also says we're supposed to give the shirt off our back to somebody. Right? So, I mean, give it a break. Don't be all religious on me. Go start pulling something out of text because you think people are going to like it and appreciate it, because it gives everybody an excuse to say, well, see, God's not really perfect. My God's perfect, and his ways are perfect. And a perfect God who has perfect ways, I want to serve. I want to know. I want to seek. I want to walk with. I want to know everything about what makes him tick. Now, Go to Psalms 18. Psalms 18. Oh, come on. Well, that's good. Now, hold on a second. I've got it in Spanish. I want to read this whole psalm. This is when Saul was delivered. I mean, David was delivered from the hand of Saul. And it says, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. Man, just listen to that. I mean, I'm just saying to you, if you're going to walk in deliverance this year, can you quote that and that's really the truth? Or is your ability to get mad your strength? Or your ability to dominate or manipulate, is that your strength? Oh, I love the Lord with all of my heart. Listen, if you say that, then you better. Oh, God. You know, we're not all perfect. We're working through, right? Which sanctification is by grace, and we keep getting better. But listen, folks, if you can't see our faults, if you can't see your own faults and ask God to help you with them and developing them, then, you know, I'm telling you, there's something wrong in your walk. You can't be a lunatic, crazy person that no one can stand to be around. And then say, yes, I have a great relationship with the Lord. Well, obviously, you're missing the memos that are coming downloaded from heaven to you in the supposed prayer time that you have in love with Him that's saying, oh, you need to stop that. You need to change that. Oh, you need to develop this. Oh, I'm just going to go on. I can't stand it. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The pains of death surround me. The floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. That's pretty rough. In my distress, I call upon the Lord, and He cried out, and I cried out to my God. He heard my voice from His temple, and my cry came before Him, even to His ears. Then the earth shook and trembled, and the foundations of the hills also quaked and were shaken. Think about David saying this, and think about the whole story of David running for his life, Saul trying to kill him. He's hiding in the rocks. He's hiding in the caves. There's nothing good, comforting, pleasant happening in David's life at this time. Yet he's running for his life, but saying, Lord, my bow that I have is not my strength because I could have killed Saul and I didn't do it. See, what you may have and you may think is your greatest strength could possibly be really your greatest weakness. Because it's the thing that gets in the way of God moving in your life, because every time God wants to move, you step in and say, oh, I'll handle this. See, it's best just to fall on your face and say, God, I am an imbecile. I can't get anything right. I'm not even going to trust in my flesh. I'm not going to trust you. Lord, you're my rock. You're my fortress. You're my high tower. You're the one in whom I trust. Lord, it's got to be you. If it's not you, I'm going to mess it up. God, if I have to do it, it's going to mess it up. As long as you're saying, well, listen, I'll handle this, and if I get in trouble, Lord, I'll call you in. That's how we operate in our Christianity so much. What are we doing when we're in arguments and fights and this kind of stuff like this, and we have not first just said, let's just fall on our face and cry out to Jesus and see and get Him to help? We say, well, you know, I mean, He ain't going to answer, and if He does, He's going to tell you I'm right. Well, there's not much zeal in your life to really find out the truth from the perfect one who will set you free. It says, because he was angry, smoke went up from his nostrils and a devouring fire from his mouth. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down in darkness under his feet. He rode upon the cherubims and flew. He flew upon the wings of the wind. He made the darkness his secret place. His canopy around him was dark waters. You know, I have this crazy little childish kind of mentality sometimes. And, you know, if something's going wrong or somebody's being ugly to me or something's going on and you know, I do have to admit, I usually have the first thought of just, you know, I'd like to punch their lights out. But I've always thought in the back of my own childish thinking, the greatest thing would be is an angel to come down, appear, slap a sword in somebody's neck and say, this man is a servant of the Most High God. You watch what you're saying. I mean, that would be so cool. Holy moly, would that be cool? Right? And you're just like, yeah, I'm with him. Yeah, he's not with me. I'm with him. Right? But I'm telling you, that's how God feels about you. We may not always see it, the angel step out and appear, but that's how God feels about you. He's right there saying, no. Don't do that. I'm here for you. Come on. I'll tear the heavens out, man. Smoke and fire. Come down right here. I'm here for you. While we wander off down the road of destruction that we want to do. Why? Because it feels good to our flesh, or it feels good to our egos, or it feels good to our emotions, and that's what we want to go do. When the whole time it's like we should be falling on our face with zeal for the Lord and passion for the Lord, saying, Lord, I don't want to make one step. I'm scared to move, because even though the highway's wide and whatever, I don't want to move until you're ordering my steps and you're preparing my ways and you're making my crooked path straight, Lord. I don't want to get off. I don't want to get over onto the slippery slope and fall off. I don't want to go there, Lord. Lord, guide my feet. Lead me, Lord. I want to know, make sure that I'm standing on sure rock foundation of you before I'm going on anywhere, because I don't even want to, I don't care if I win this argument. I don't care what happens. I don't care if I look like a fool. Lord, I do not want to make a mistake. And if you have to stand there and pray till you know the answer, glory to God. He says, verse 12, from the brightness before him, the thick clouds passed with hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord thundered from the heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. He sent out his arrows and scattered the foe, lightnings in abundance, and he vanquished them. Then the channels of the sea were seen. The foundations of the world were uncovered. At your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils, he sent from above. He took me and drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemies, from those who hated me, and they were too strong for me. They comforted me in the day of my calamity. But the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanliness of my hands, he has recompensed me. I have kept the ways of the Lord. I have not wickedly departed from my God, for all his judgments were before me. I did not put away his statutes from before me. I was also blameless for him. I kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore, the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanliness of my hands in his sight. With the merciful, you show yourself merciful. With the blameless man, you show yourself blameless. With the pure, you show yourself pure. And with the devious, you will show yourself shrewd. And you will save the humble people. You'll bring down the haughty looks. You will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect, and the word of the Lord is proven. Folks, who doesn't want to serve him? The world right now is compromising the word of God in order to do what they want to do, to justify their means of what their flesh wants them to do. And I look at it as, if I want to serve this guy, the guy who thunders from heaven down before me, the God is, I want to know his ways so that I walk in his ways. And I know that he has the perfect way, the perfect plan, the perfect answer. He has the perfect thing to bring you joy, the perfect thing to bring you happiness, the perfect thing to bring you peace. Good preaching. And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength. He makes my way perfect and makes my way perfect. Okay? I mean, Psalms 18 is just one of the most amazing ones of the world, okay? I want to serve this perfect God. Zeal means you determine that too. I want what this God says. If this God says forgive your enemies because it's going to be he's going to heap burning coals upon their head and he's going to bless me and that's what's going to, then I want to do it because, Lord, I'm just going to believe your way's perfect. He said, but that's no fun. I don't want to be justified. This is not right. But I'm like, God, if you say it, and this is who you are, then I okay, let's do it. Because, boy, I want to serve you. I want to walk with you, no matter what your word says. Your word says things. The Holy Ghost needles me all the time. I'll get in the truck and he'll say, you exaggerated that story. I did. Forgive me. He said, don't do it again. I said, I know. It just sounds bigger. You know, it sounds better when it's bigger, you know. Y'all with me? Holy Ghost will never let me have any sleep. He never lets me get away with anything. He's always there to get me. And I'm glad. Because his way is perfect. And he's trying to keep me on the perfect path. It's not something I want to run away from. It's something I want to run to. It's something that I should be nervous about if he's not needling me. If he's not saying, what did you do? If I didn't hear that voice, then I should be worried because, you know, something's not right. With my relationship with him, I've gone off the reservation. I guess I shouldn't say things like that. That's probably a horrible term nowadays. But I said it. I stand by it. I don't mean anything negative or racial by it. I'm just saying that's what I always grew up saying. It was just, man, I'm telling you. I'm off. Y'all with me? There's not that conviction. Because, see, zeal brings conviction. You can't be passionate for something. I mean, come on. I can't go there. I can't say that. No, you don't even want to hear it. It's too bad. If my wife didn't like the way I kissed her, I'd change. If she said, stop doing that, that's ridiculous, I would change. Because why? There's relationship, there's passion, there's zeal. If I'm talking to Jesus and he says, I really wish you'd quit doing that, that's inappropriate. Then you know what? What kind of a stupid idiot? I said, well, I don't know. I kind of like it. What idiot would I be? Y'all with me? When you're zealous for something, you're going to try. Man, those athletes and they're training, you know, I know there's a lot of theories and a lot of people would have different deals, but if I really believed in somebody and he said, look, you really need to do this, you know, don't do a curl like this. I want you to do a curl like this. I'd say, well, it's kind of strange. I don't believe it, but I mean, you know, whatever. Right? You would do it because you're taking instructions from the person who's done it. Well, if his way is perfect, I want his instruction. So why wouldn't I want to be in the midst of the instruction book? Why wouldn't I want to be in the midst of prayer? Why wouldn't I want to be in the midst of hearing the Holy Ghost? Why wouldn't I want to every day take my heart out in the presence of God and lay it down on the altar and say, Lord, do we need to do some repairs here? Or what needs to go on? What needs to take place? Okay, so I'm going to finish up here. Go to 2 Corinthians 6:16. In 2 Corinthians 6:16, it says, "And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separated, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." You know where that comes from? That comes from Ezekiel 37. When God said, "I will make a covenant of peace with them, and I will walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people." Listen to me. God wants you to be his son or daughter. No matter how goofy you may be, no matter how ugly your heart may be, no matter how much bad thoughts you have, no matter, God wants you. You got to get that down. You're not going to go to the Holy Ghost dance and nobody's going to dance with you. You're not going to go to the party and nobody talks to you. Are y'all with me? You're not going to go talk to God and he's like, "Well, listen, I don't have time for you now." You're not going to have something so ugly in your life or so horrible in your life. I don't care what it is, that God is not going to love you, want to take the brokenness of your life, put you together. And whenever you say out of your mouth, "God, I don't know how you could love me," you're just repeating something that's demonic. Because amazing grace covers all that. And if you get that through your thick noggin and down into your heart, that's how much God loves you and he wants to have that relationship with you and he's just wanting to be Psalms 18 God for you and part the heavens and do whatever, and he's wanting to bring that about, and he's heard your cry and he's heard your prayer and he's there for you and he's not going to let you fall and he's not going to let you go, and he's just working with you and trying to help you and molding you along, and you just keep serving him and keep saying, "Lord, I'm here, Lord, I ain't going to go." And you're doing your exercises and you're doing your whatever is your part to keep walking. I mean, you can't go on a date with God if you don't show up. I don't know why I'm having all these thoughts. When I was in high school, I was dating a girl and I called her up one day. And, you know, of course, this is just me. And I said, "Well, you want to go out tonight?" And she's like, "Well, yeah." She said, "Yeah, you know, I guess so." And I said, "Well, where do you want to go? You know, you want to go to San Antonio?" "Well, yeah, I guess." And I said, "Well, you know, would you rather go to the Dancing Valley?" "Well, you know, I guess." "You want to go to the picture show?" "I guess." I said, "Well, I guess you just don't know what you're talking about." I said, "Matter of fact, I don't even want to go out. You're not hung up, never date her again." Because if I was going to go out with somebody, I want them to be happy and overjoyed that they were with me, not to say, "Well, I guess." I was like, "A lot of fish in the sand. Imagine me, you know more." Never called her again. So you can't go on a date with God if you ain't going to show up. Or God's wanting to get you saying, "Oh, I love you with an everlasting love." "Well, that's nice. I don't know how, but I guess you can." "Oh, I love you so, so much." "Well, you know what I've done. I don't think you want to be with me." I mean, if I was God, I'd smote you. Thank God I'm not. And he is God. He loves you so much, he keeps coming back, and he'll keep calling you. I wouldn't, but he will. He'll keep trying to make that date happen. Right? Because he's God, and he's full of grace and compassion and mercy, and he's perfect. I'm not. So she got 3 chances, and that's it, man. I mean, maybe she was thanking God. I don't know. But... So, all I'm saying tonight, to sum it all up, if you want to see your deliverance this year, get zealous. Don't let anything get in your way. Get ravenously zealous for God. Whatever you got to do to fall on your face, if you have to bite your tongue, put a You know, I've thought sometimes, you know, when everybody gets these tongue piercings, that some of those could be good if they were just really big so you couldn't talk. You know, like the size of a grapefruit hanging out of your mouth. Then maybe you could stay out of trouble, you know? Years ago, we were in Mexico, down the missions, and they were trying to explain to me that this person was going on a diet deal, you know, and they were there, and I was trying to ask them, like, what are they doing, you know? And they said, I don't know what you call it. I don't know, in, you know, in English. And they got their lips, like sewed. It's like, what? They sewed their lips shut so they wouldn't. That's a heck of a diet. What do you mean they got their lips sewed? So the other person said to them, oh, it's not. And so they were getting it all wrong in their translation of what was going on. They're trying to say it in English. It wasn't their lips sewed, it was their stomach. And so I was like, that's a big difference. They're sewing the lips than the stomach. I mean, come on, boys, you got the wrong word there. So I'm just saying, sometimes maybe we do need to sew our lips shut so we can keep ourselves out of trouble. Till we can just lay on the floor and talk to God in our head till we can finally get our tongue right so he can be unleashed and they won't do anything stupid. Amen? And this is the great news that I'm telling you tonight is, man, you just can't believe what's going to happen in a year. You just will not believe what can happen in a year. What God and the life that he can give you and the joy and the peace and the everything that you've ever dreamed of just starts happening, and all of a sudden presents are showing up at your house and you just had only dreamed of them, but then all of a sudden they happened just because you were zealous for him. Just because you were zealous for him. I'll tell you one story and then I'm really through. One time, Years ago, 20 years ago, I'd gone out, y'all cut the tape. Just, yeah, kill it.